Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kadri Talks Football. Interesting weekend again. A lot to go through. Football is just everywhere right now. But it's going to be another Premier League roundup. It's going to be a quick one. You know, just going to go through all the games I watched and highlights of the games I didn't watch, or some talking points from the games I didn't watch. So just before we get into the video, please remember to like, comment, subscribe, share the video, comments, you know, I really like comments, like as I've always said. But yeah, let's get into this one. Everyone knows the first game I'm going to start with. It is United versus Tottenham, yay. As you can see, I'm very excited because whenever United loses, I am happy. But where do I even start from? Okay, let me quickly go through the game and then we'll discuss the discussions that are going on right now. So the game ended 3-0. Tottenham won the game. Instead, it did not even start well for United. There was no point where we thought, okay, they're trying to do something. Like Rashford went on this interesting run and then lost the ball, and then Van den Ven took the ball from his own half, not even from his own half, from deep inside his own half, and ran through United's midfield, ran through their defense, got to the touchline, and then made an assist out of it with Brennan Johnson unmarked at the other end. Like Dalot was so bad for that goal. If that was Trent, But no United fan is saying he's bad defensively or this or that. You know, that's how the thing goes. But anyway, like that is so chaotic. Fine, like you can, football is not that easy. There are points in the game where you would probably lose concentration. It's not ideal. You should not lose concentration in the game. But letting a defender run through your whole team like that and creating a goal out of it, it should be a punishable offense. Like, it was so stupid. Ugarte is just Casemiro, a younger Casemiro, to be honest. Like, you should... Okay, let me not target Ugarte. It's just, for that goal, he was also, like, a culprit. Like, letting this guy run through the midfield, getting to the defense where Mazraoui was so far ahead. But fine, Mazraoui was trying to offer support to Rashford and Garnacho on that wing. That's why he was ahead. And then, where was Dele for the goal? Positioning was so bad. It could be, it's all down to coaching anyway. I don't want to target any player. Only one person I'm targeting today. But anyway, 1-0, game is going. And, well, Bruno decides to raise his foot high and then put in a tackle, which I get the idea that it was a dangerous tackle. It wasn't the best of tackles, but I don't think that was a red card in any way. But, you know, I'll leave it at that. I don't think it was a red card, and that's just it. Should never have been a red card. It was a dangerous offense, yellow card at best. They come out in the second half, and United don't even get to breathe anymore. They don't even get to breathe. They don't even get to settle. Tottenham have scored again. We another run, but from the other side, Brennan Johnson gets the ball in via deflection, and Kulusevski is there to tap it in. Unmarked, no one is even on him. Keeper doesn't even know what's going on. I don't want to blame the keeper, to be honest, but like no one even knows what's going on around him. 2-0. Next thing you know, game is going. I mean, at that point, I think United already. That's just. We'll get to it. At that point, I think United were already giving up. And the third goal was just an expectation. Everyone was just waiting for it to happen. It could have even been more than three. Onana was the only one that seemed to care about not losing. But, the game ended 3-0. Okay, now the discussion is going on. I think everyone is starting to give up on Ten Hag. This is what I've been saying. I've been saying this for a long time. Me, personally, I would like Ten Hag to stay. The longer he stays, the trashier United are. So it's good for me. But from a tactical point of view, from an unbiased point of view, every time I talk about football, When I talk about football, I'm trying not to be too biased. Like, yes, I hate you, but this is what I see and this is what I think. What I see is Ten Hag's system is not good. I mean, this year he's trying to implement stuff, yes, but what he's implementing is dependent on the players he has, which shouldn't be the case. Like, I'll get to the Liverpool game, but there's something I've noticed about not just Slot now that is doing it. Klopp also used to do it, but I'll talk about Slot now, where he plays according to the team he's playing, not the players he has. Yes, he's not had injuries, but I've seen him make changes. I watched the Carabao Cup game live where he made almost 11 changes, and I could see that he was playing against West Ham. He wasn't playing to the strength of the people he had, because he came in with a style, and every single person down to the academy must be able to play that style. Not that, oh, we're bringing Bradley in, we should change our style. That's not how it works. So Ten Hag, that is one of Ten Hag's faults, which so many people are not willing to accept, but it's not what's my business anyway. And then you see the lack of what's the word, like, there's no one willing to try. I think the players are also getting to the point where they're just giving up. It's like, man, let's just get this guy out of here, which is unfair, because some of these boys that are here have seen like four or five managers leave, and it's just become a cycle. I mean, some of them would soon have to retire or find new clubs because they are too old to play, Rashford being one of them. So, I mean, do I want Ten Hag to go? No. But if I was a United fan, I think I'd be asking questions. Like, it's okay to support your club, to believe in the project, but open your eyes. What is Ten Hag bringing to the table that you think, okay, this guy will take us far? Like, we're seeing it with different managers. We're seeing the style they're implementing. We're seeing Enzo Maresca implementing his style. And we know what he wants to do. Even if it doesn't end up succeeding, we would be able to tell that, okay, this was what he was trying to do. No one can tell me what Ten Hag is trying to do. We just know that here and there, he does this here, he does this there, with no idea, with no end goal. It's just, okay, Mount is here, let's do what Mount wants to do. Rashford is here, let's do what Rashford wants to do. Bruno, I mean, we know what Bruno wants to do. Worst captain ever. But anyway, United lost, Tottenham won. Good for everyone, including me. And yeah, I'll go Liverpool next, because the club I support, but Liverpool's game wasn't that exciting, so I'll go to the next exciting game. City Newcastle, first game of the weekend. It was an interesting one. I think Newcastle, at the start of the game, they implemented Arsenal's style in terms of, like, sit back, take all the pressure, hit them on the counter, and they had 11 men to do that this time, unlike when Arsenal tried to do it. So it looks like it was going well, and it looked like City could not bring them down. It was the same case of passing from left to right, from right to left again, without no penetration. It wasn't a great watch, to be honest. And the City, they have much more quality than what we've seen so far in the last two games. I do believe that Pep will be able to sort this out. If there's one thing he knows how to do, is he knows how to find solutions to problems like this. But it was the same thing again. There was nothing creatively from City side. They might have had shots here and there, but there was nothing threatening enough against Newcastle. Although Vardiol was able to create a goal and score a nice goal, he's very good at that, like, from left back. That's a natural center back that's playing left back and being able to score so many goals. I think he scored more goals than Martinelli, more goals than Jesus. Like, but they went 1-0 up, and I don't think there was anyone that watched the game that thought, okay, City would win this game. I mean, could they have won the game? Yes, but there was no point where I was, like, confident that these guys are going to win this game. And then Newcastle were able to take an advantage of that, get a penalty, which I thought was a penalty. There's been debate that people don't think it was a penalty. Me, I thought that was a penalty, because he already ran past the keeper. Yes, could he have gotten the ball? Who knows? But the keeper blocked his path. The contact might have been minimal, but when you're running at such full speed, if you play football, you would know that when you're running at such full speed, somebody diving in would always bring you down. And that was what happened. They got the penalty, 1-1. And that's how the game ended. There were some questionable performances. People are trying to slander Gundogan. I mean, fairs, it could be old age, it could be one bad game. I still believe that's one of the best midfielders in the league. Haaland didn't really see anything. Two shots all game. one in first half, one in second half. Phil Foden is just, I don't know if there might be something going on behind the scenes between Phil Foden and Pep, because why would you drop the PFA player of the year on the bench consistently? And then when Foden has come on, I've not seen anything. And to be fair, I've always been one not to like Phil Foden's profile. Very good player, and I would always hype him up for the things he does. But his profile, if you define Phil Foden to me without me having to watch him, I'll tell you I don't want that player in my team. It's not that. And just say it again, I am not saying Phil Foden is a bad player. I really like his talent. I really like his style. He's a good dribbler. He has a good shot on him. In tight spaces, there are not too many people I trust more than him that would get out of that with a proper turn. But his profile is just not ideal to be an attacking midfielder. His profile is not ideal to be a winger. So, I don't know. But he's not having a great season so far. 6 games in, maybe Pep has long-term plan for him to integrate him at some point. But for now, we're not seeing anything of him. Gundogan that just came, 30-year-old Gundogan that just came, is putting him on the bench already. Game ended 1-1. City dropped points again for the second time in 2 weeks. Yay. And the next game I'll be speaking about is Brighton versus Chelsea. I watched half of this game because it was a 3 p.m. kickoff. So I watched half of Chelsea's game and I watched half of Arsenal's game. I started with the Arsenal game and then I moved to the Chelsea game because the goals were just swarming in and I did not want to miss out. But anyway, game ended 4-2. Brighton scored the first goal and then Chelsea just picked up Palmer with 4 goals. Palmer is so good. I don't know how to explain this guy. People are saying it's because he's dumb, you know, he doesn't feel pressure. And to be honest, it makes sense because he plays like he doesn't feel pressure. He plays like, I just want to be done with this and go home and chill. Like the way he plays, he doesn't think too much. Like, even till today, I still see Salah, who is a seasoned pro. I still see him overthink things. Palmer doesn't do that. We could talk about his goals. His free kick. He came out in the press conference and says he doesn't practice free kicks. Look at him belting one of the most perfect free kicks you will ever see. Look at him. He came into the team last season and started taking penalties. He's scoring more even this season. Look at the way he takes his shots. His 1v1s. And one of the reasons why I say he doesn't overthink things, look at his passes too. There was this one time pass he gave to Jackson, because they were already in the lead, I was thinking, okay, they are going to control the game, they are going to try and keep possession and everything. And then ball comes to Palmer, one time this guy hits the ball. There was a little gap. So when there's a little gap between the defender and the keeper, you're thinking the ideal thing to not do there is make a pass because the keeper should get to it. But when you catch everyone off guard like that, it's crazy because the keeper tried to get to it, but Jackson, I think Jackson, you can tell that Jackson plays a lot with him, you know, training together with him has helped them come to this like understanding, and Jackson is expecting things like that. And that beautiful pass. Game ended 4-2. It was really interesting because he went 1-0 to Brighton, 2-1 to Chelsea, 3-1 to Chelsea, and then 3-2. And then, you know, I actually tuned in because I was thinking game was going to get even more interesting. They'd probably see more goals, but Chelsea scored the fourth and that was the end. Sancho has had a good start to the season for Chelsea. And now we are seeing that Sancho was not the problem. It was Ten Hag. Cannot coach this guy because he did well in Dortmund, signed to United, flopped to United, went back to Dortmund, did well in Dortmund, came back to United, flopped to United, went to Chelsea, is doing well in Chelsea. The only part where he's ever done bad is at United. So the problem is not with the player, it's with the system. Next game was Arsenal City, Leicester. It looked like a usual boring Arsenal win, to be fair. That's why I tuned out of the game. I was like, another Arsenal win, and not just the way they were going to win it. Like, teams win games. Like, the way Chelsea won game, their game, but it wasn't boring. It was like the suffocated Leicester. Let me not say it. It was boring to me as a neutral. good for Arsenal. I want my team to play like that. I want people to tune out of my games because they think, okay, game is done in 5 minutes. They suffocated Leicester, put them, like, Leicester came with a low block. They basically wanted to do what Arsenal did to City, to Arsenal. And, you know, they did, they slightly did well. But Arsenal kept, what Arsenal does is so much better than City in that sense. And it's crazy. It's crazy because I would expect City to be better at it. So when you sit back, Arsenal overload one side. So you either go and press them or you let so many people, you leave them in that one side. And so it's very hard to defend. So by overloading one side, I mean, like, if you sit back, you know, you have your five defenders, 4-1. That's what Leicester were doing. And then Arsenal would put 3-4 players on the right side. So they would have Timber, Saka, Trossard, and one of their centre-backs, Saliba, or Konkluza, or Partey will enter there. So they'll have four to five players on that right side. So they'll outnumber the Leicester defenders there. If Leicester decide to add more bodies, they are freeing up another space on the other side where Martinelli and the other guys are. And if they don't come to help, if they don't send players to help, then they will outnumber them and then they will just keep on passing around them there until they find the space. And that's what they did until when they gave the ball to Timber, who gave a perfect ball to Martinelli, who was free for his goal. And then they did it at the other side where Martinelli found the ball to Trossard. 2-0. And at 3-0, I thought that was the end of the game. 2-0, that I was going to watch Chelsea's game. But James Justin, the second half must have been crazy because from the highlights I saw, it's not like Leicester really did much. It was just, I think those were the only actions I saw from them from the highlights. One was a set piece header, which I think Raya could have saved if there was no deflection from Kai Havertz. And then the second was a beautifully taken goal. Sweet half volley. Perfection. 2-2, and Leicester's plan was just, let's see this game out. And they could have done it, but they got so unlucky. So unlucky. And I feel bad for them, man, because it looked very possible to get points out of that game. Or a point out of that game. But unluckily, they got a deflection in the 90th minute, 3-2. And then they decided to go out and try and salvage something. And then Arsenal counter, 4-2. So Arsenal and City are still unbeaten. They are the only unbeaten teams in the league. And, you know, I mean, they've always been the two teams we've all expected to do well. And then Wolves-Liverpool, 5:30 game on Saturday. You're thinking this is going to be, at least it's going to be entertaining because build up and everything. One of the most boring games I saw. No, okay. I think it's because I was pissed at the way my team played. Maybe not, it wasn't boring to other people that watched because, you know, there was a lot of tension, a lot of drama and everything. But Liverpool played really bad. And I think we played, so this is something I said, we played against Wolves. We did not play, like, usually under Klopp, what we saw most of the time was we went in with a style. We went in with one style. We had, so that's something we used to criticize Klopp for also. We only had the plan A. Go in, play our heavy metal football, and make sure we win because we're most likely always the better team. So we went in, but on that slot, it's like we tweak according to the team we're playing. So Wolves are a more dribbling team. They will get the ball to their defenders who will dribble in pass. They're not trying to, they don't necessarily try to do intricate passes in the middle. And so we had to adapt. We had a mid block actually. Like our first phase pressers were lower. But I mean, that's never important. We lost the ball a lot. We gave possession away a lot, which got us in trouble a lot of times. I mean, we still limited them. They had, what, like 2-3 shots all game, but we were not good on the eye at all. We were able to salvage something from a beautiful cross from Jota, and Konate leaping, not even leaping, flying to get the ball. And then, well, they scored back from a stupid mistake from DC and Konate. Very annoying. And then we got a penalty. Salah converted 2-1. And to be honest, the game was just boring from there. There was not much action. Gavin Birch was just bossing the midfield. I really like Lemina's performance, man. Yeah, he made some mistakes, but man, I think I'll take Lemina at Liverpool. Just competition for Gavin Birch. You know, I feel like if we have someone like that, if we want to rest Gavin Birch for like the Champions League games or cup games or whatever, we need to rest players. Like the quality won't drop because Lemina is such a player. But anyway, Liverpool 1-2-1. Liverpool on top of the league. Yay, but I'm not celebrating that. We're not in the title race, you know. We're just warming up the seats for Arsenal or City. That's just what it is. I am not going to brag or throw our names out there. Nah, this is between City and Arsenal. Leave us out of it. We are just there by chance. Anyway, other games I watched were Ipswich versus Aston Villa. This Dilla boy. Goddamn. Proper baller. FPL gem. Don't say I never did anything nice for you guys. Yeah, now Dilab ran them riots. Him, Hutchinson, Clark. They're really Ipswich. Kieran McKenna is a good manager, really, really good manager. Like he stunned Emery. Like there was no point where I thought Aston Villa were going to win the game. Yeah, they had a nice comeback with beautiful goal from Rodgers though. Like the passing between him and Watkins, and then Watkins scoring a beautiful header. I was thinking, okay, come back, Kings. But I wasn't confident. Ipswich are that good. They played that well where I was like, okay, nah, they would get something out of this game. And they did get something out of the game. And the game ended 2-2. Beautiful game. One of my favorite games from the weekend. And the last game I saw on TV was Bournemouth versus Southampton. Bournemouth just showed levels to Southampton. Southampton started the game really well. And then Bournemouth scored from a quick free kick. Beautiful goal. Evan Nielsen has finally gotten his goal. And they just took over the game from there. Semenyo was just running them riot. That is another interesting baller. There's so many good ballers in the league that, oof. But Semenyo was really good. Man of the match performance from him. So I don't think we were able to get a goal in the second half, but wasn't good enough to get them the any points out of it. Games from elsewhere. Brentford, West Ham. Another first minute goal from Brentford. That's three in a row now. Crazy. And another volley from Mbeumo. But Kudus was able to, like, Kudus, baller. He played really well for West Ham. And West Ham were able to get a goal. They got a point from the game, which is it's not a good start for them. And they need to sort themselves out. What other game was there? Everton versus Crystal Palace. I think the secret to Everton winning is conceding first. Because when they score first, they lose. Well, they conceded first from Crystal Palace. Brilliant goal. Well, I won't say brilliant, but good goal from Gehi. And then McNeil. Oof! That boy. He can take a shot. Wow. And, well, McNeil won the game for them. Everton could have even scored more. Brilliant defending from Lacroix. That's one of my favorite players from that I used to watch in the Bundesliga. And yeah, Everton has finally gotten their win. And just like that, they have 4 points. They are just 3 points behind United. It's crazy how these things work. And then the last game from the weekend to speak about is Forest versus Fulham. There wasn't really much that I saw from there, from the highlights. I think Fulham were the better team. Could have scored probably a lot more. But they did get a penalty and Raul Jimenez converted. He's starting to find his feet back in the Premier League. One of the best strikers we ever saw. And he's scoring again. It's good. Yeah. Quick roundup for this weekend. There was nothing much to say. Just Ten Hag in or out. What are we saying, boys? Champions League is back again, and that's what I'm going to focus on. But we'll see you guys after the next weekend of football. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and yeah, share. Peace.